You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana, we greet you here today. God bless you. Happy Wednesday. Hey, it's hump day already. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Wednesday to join me. We're tuning into God's frequency here today, WGOD. God is always broadcasting. For the next 30 minutes, we're going to hear some words from him today. Remember, the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the utmost piercing thing, is the word of God. It can pierce joints and bones and marrow. It's a discerner of their thoughts. It's a discerner of the intentions of our heart. Let's sit under the word of God here today. Lord God Almighty, we sit under your word. Speak to us through your word. We listen for your voice through your word. Minister to us. Show us perhaps what we're doing wrong. Strengthen the things that we're doing right. And may the power to change be present here today. We hold up your word and sit under it as our examination here today. We listen for you. Bless the study now, Lord. Through Christ the Lord, we ask. Amen. Again, I'm Paul Esposito. I thank you guys for joining us. And we're heard at 7:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. right here on WMIE Radio. WWBC, 5:30 p.m. Also at 6:30 in the morning on our sister station here, WWBC 94.7 Central Brevard County, 100.7 South Endetta County, 99.9 all points north, 91.5 20,000 watts here in Brevard County. You know, a lot of people have been asking me about the podcast because sometimes you're unable to hear this at the times that it's on. Now, there are other ways to hear this program. Number one, if you have an iPhone or an iPad, there is an app that's already on your phone because Apple makes it. It's called Podcasts. It's a little purple app. On there, open that up, find it on your phone, find Podcast, search for the entire name of this program, WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. You'll find this podcast there and subscribe to the podcast. And then when these are uploaded, this will be available for you to be on your phone. Then you can listen anytime that you want. Or you can grab your iPad, hear it from there. So it's built and designed for Apple, so you can use it, you know, across your platform. So that's one of the ways. WMIEFM.com. There's a new app for that. Search for that no matter what kind of device you have, whether it's Android or an Apple. Search for WMIE. It's a new app. You can download that and then go to the on demand section on there. And then you can hear all of the programming here, and you can hear this program as well. So that's kind of a work in progress. It seems to time out on its own after a couple minutes when your phone goes to sleep. So that's kind of a work in progress. But those are some of the ways to listen to this program. Because remember, God calls you blessed if you take the time to read this book, if you've got ears to hear, and if you keep the words written therein. This coming weekend, my sermon is in Hebrews chapter 11. You just heard chapter 10 on Monday and Tuesday. Here is going to be the Hall of Faith, God's Hall of Faith. That's where we're going to be at. We're looking at faith this Sunday morning. We'd love to see you here tonight. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 o'clock tonight. You guys still have time to come to church tonight. You are invited. It's much more informal than a Sunday morning. We have a dry erase board. We roll that out. It's open for your questions, for comments. So we'd love to see you 6 o'clock tonight at 10:30 on Sunday morning. Okay, we're up to the next church here. We're up to this church of Smyrna. Now we're heading some 35 miles north of Ephesus, where we were at these last couple days. Now the mailman today, as I like to say, we're reading someone else's mail. The mailman, whose letter we are about to swipe and read its contents, is delivering the second of seven letters intended for the spiritual leaders, for the messengers, those that have been appointed by God and installed in these seven churches to be God's mouthpiece. Preach the word. Speak the word. Now remember, at this time, the word of God wasn't complete yet, so there very well could have been prophets still at this time. The last apostle had died by then, but this was 96 AD, so there were prophets around until the word of God was complete, because no one had the word of God. A prophet would get up and say, "Thus saith the Lord, you can do all things through Christ." A prophet would get up and say, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." A prophet would get up and say, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" This is what prophets did. They spoke the word of God until a word of God was written down and distributed like we have now. That which is perfect is the word of God, in my humble opinion. But here, these messengers, he says, to the angelos of the church, many times, well, almost every time, it's translated as angel. And with all humble respect, I don't think that's the right way to take this. I think it's the messenger. I think it's the pastor of these churches. So what's the history of Smyrna? Now, Smyrna was where Polycarp was the bishop or the pastor there. This was around 150, so this would be about 50 years after this, came someone named Polycarp, famous saint. Famous saint for what he said when the government tried to force him to worship the emperor. As this Smyrna was the center of emperor worship. Hard to believe, but they actually worshiped emperors. And the, well, emperors in Rome. But imagine being a church or a Christian in a place like this. Good gosh, what a terrible place. All of this pressure all around you. See, that's why this church has gone down in history as the persecuted church. There's no correction for these guys from the Lord, like we see in many of these other letters, other than the Church of the Open Door, Philadelphia. There's no correction for these guys. I mean, they had to sign an affidavit and a letter swearing that Caesar, actually in Greek it was Kaiseros Kurios, which meant Caesar is Lord. And you had to sign that or else. That was the kind of stuff that was going on there. A place where you will bow down and worship the emperor or be horribly killed. Now, as history has it, this man Polycarp, the pastor of this church, bishop, let's call him pastor, he was faced with this dilemma: deny Christ and bow down to the emperor. And they said to him, indeed, they said, quote, "Swear by the genius of Caesar." Now, as history has it also, Polycarp answered the liberals there, I'm sorry, the leaders there, the Christian haters, with this famous comment. He said, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. Bring forth what thou wilt. Now that's what I'm talking about. Bring forth what thou wilt. catch the attitude of this believer. You see, don't mess with Polycarp. He's my kind of guy, this guy. May I have the kind of faith that he had to be as strong as he was in the face of adversity. Definitely, he's my kind of guy. Bring forth what thou wilt. And that needs to be our attitude today as well. I hear it, you know, Esposito, don't preach that message. That's hate speech. What should I say? You know, 30 and 5 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. The time is going to come, I believe, where us pastors and preachers are going to be threatened with that here in this country. Don't preach that here. If you preach that, you're going to suffer the consequences from it. What sayest thou? What do we say to that? The same as Polycarp. Me, I've been a Christian some 35 years now. 30 and 5 years have I served him, that's Christ Jesus, and he's done me no harm. Bring forth what thou wilt. We're not that far removed from that here in this country. Bring forth what thou wilt. You know, that ought to be our new call to action. What do you think? Bring forth. Bring it on. Bring forth what thou wilt. We don't seek these kind of things, but we're going to stand for Jesus Christ. You see, this is why I believe that the Lord Jesus makes your life difficult today. Because he's building in us this hupomone, this perseverance, this endurance, what it takes to get through trials out here in the world. This is why James says to count it all joy when this happens to you. Count it all joy. The NIV says, consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you encounter or fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work, meaning abide under the hand of God. Let God see you through. Are you going through a trial today? Let me encourage you. God is at work behind the scenes. If your name is in the book of life, maybe you're under a trial so that you will turn to him. But know and understand this, according to the word of God, James chapter 1, verse 2, that God is at work behind these scenes, transforming you daily into a spiritual giant that'll take no prisoners out here. God is at work. What you're going through is deliberate. He's behind the scenes using the trial that you're going through to turn you, my friend, into another Polycarp. 80 and 6 years. Can you imagine this old guy? Maybe that's how old he was. Maybe that's how long he'd served the Lord. I don't know. But this 90-year-old guy said, you know what? I don't care what you threaten me with. I am going to continue to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And that's the same for you. It's the same God promises you what he promised Isaiah, who wrote that, and everyone else. No weapon formed against you, my friend. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Do you believe this? That's what's going on here in this church here. Now, some 50 years before this happened to Polycarp, the Lord Jesus dictates a letter to the current pastor of this church. Now, Smyrna, like Ephesus, was a proud and beautiful city. Had a large library, a stadium. It had the largest public theater in Asia. A famous golden street traversed the city with a temple to Zeus at the one end and the temple to a local goddess, Cyplene, at the other end. Other temples, which were there in Smyrna, they had a temple to Apollos, Asclepius, and Aphrodite, all lined this golden street. And now here you are, down here at First Baptist, down the street. Imagine getting up. Imagine the pastor getting up and saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the pastor saying right there, right sandwiched in between Zeus and Apollos and Aphrodite is the spiritual leader of this church saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Man, oh man, that must have taken a lot of courage to speak that back in the day, knowing that that is going to cost your life. It cost you your life for that kind of message. We don't have that kind of person, that kind of persecution here in this country, but they did back then. And the Lord's going to commend these guys here for not abandoning the faith, for continuing to trust in Him in the face of adversity. Trust in Jesus in the face of adversity. Same thing, what's required of them is required of you and I as well. Trust God in the face of adversity. Now, also in this city, the city had become the center for a cult emperor worship. Smyrna received permission to build a temple to the emperor Tiberius 23 years BC. Under the emperor Domitian, who was ruler when this letter was written, emperor worship was required for all Roman citizens. Those who refused could receive the death penalty. Once a year, all the citizens of Smyrna were required to burn incense on an altar to Caesar, after which they would receive a certificate proving that they had done their civil duty. While this was more of an act of political loyalty than a religious act, the citizens still had to say when burning the incense, Caesaros Kyrios, that is, Caesar is Lord. Now, many Christians considered this act blasphemous, and they refused to do it, rightfully so. Thus, the church in this city struggled now against two hostile forces. The Gentile population, loyal to Rome, and supported emperor worship, and a large Jewish population strongly opposed to Christianity. What a combination. What a combination that is. Okay, now let's move on here. Let's get into this letter here now. We're breaking into this pastor's office, proverbially speaking, and we're going to open up this letter that the Son of God Himself dictates the Apostle John. These are seven churches surrounding this rock island penal colony called Patmos that John was sent to. These seven churches all were in, like, let's call it a mailman's route. And they're listed and given in order of where they are. I think there's more to that as well. There's a spiritual significance to this as well. Seven being the very key number here in the book of Revelation. Anyway, let's move on. We're in chapter 2, verse 8. Now to the pastor or the messenger of the church in Smyrna, right? These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. Boy, not many people can claim that. Put that on your business card. Jesus Christ is the first and the last. Try that on for size. In the beginning was the Word, we read in John 1:1, right? Anarche on hologos. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And He's the last. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says He's the last Adam. So He's first and last. Also it says He was dead. Also it says He came to life again, never to see death again. No one else can claim that. No one else can write that on their business card or on their resume but the Son of God. The only Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. He's the first, the protos. He is the last, the eschatos. He is the end, the telos. The only thing He shares in common with us on this list is He died. But then He came to life again. So this here is what sets Christianity apart from everything and anyone else. For all who follow Him, death is not the end. This is what the Lord Jesus did with death and the power of death. Listen to this verse. This is Colossians 2:15. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, that means he's defanged Satan, this snake out here. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he mocked them in public, triumphing over them in it. That's Colossians 2:14. You could write that out as Nana Boo Boo. Hit the road, devil. You're toast. You're all gums now. You're toast. You've been defanged. You see, this is the great secret that the devil doesn't want you to know, and that is Satan has no power over you today. His power's been destroyed. We read in Hebrews, the Lord Jesus has destroyed the power of death and the power of the enemy. He's got no power over you. All he can do is attempt to deceive you. That's the only power that he has today. He's a fool who's lost his dentures. So when the scoffer asks you personally, what makes your belief system different than anyone else? Here it is right here. Death's not the end for me. That's the difference. My Jesus came to life again. And he promises that I will too. He even says that those who are alive when he comes back will never die. And he asks, do you believe this? And I say, yes, I do. I believe it. How about you? All those who live, we read in John 11:25, all those who live and believe in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So death has no hold over you now because of the Son. Death has no sting any more over you because of the Son of God. Because when you die and leave this world, if you die, there's a blessed generation, remember, that's getting closer and closer and closer. Remember, Paul said our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. I know that's a duh statement. Everyone can say that, but there's a generation that's going to be alive when he returns that will never die. Now, personally, that's the number one thing on my bucket list. That's the number one thing that I want to do before I die, friend, is not dying. Death has no hold of you over anymore because of the Son of God. You know, people say all the time, there's many ways to God and gain entry into heaven. But Jesus says, I am the way. This might not have preached very well in Smyrna. Probably won't preach very well here in the United States anymore. You're called arrogant if you believe that. I believe it because Jesus said it. And that is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And when he came to life again, God gave a stamp of approval on his Son and every word that he said. So this letter here comes from the one who came to life again permanently. Verse 9, I know your works. Now he's commending them. It's what he does. He greets them. He starts with an attribute about himself. We read what that was here. These things, says the first, the last, who was dead and came to life. That's the attribute about himself. Now he's going to commend them here. Verse 9, he says, I know your works. I know your tribulation. I know your poverty. But you were rich. You see, they thought they were poor, maybe because they didn't have any money. And Jesus said, that's not how I reckon things, friend. You might not have a lot of money, but I deem you rich. That's what he told them. And then others that thought they were rich, he said, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. God does not reckon riches the way that we do here. He says, I know your poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan, or we could say a congregation of demons. You're not a Jew, he's saying. Now, Moses was a Jew. Abraham was a Jew. Isaac was a Jew. Peter, Paul, James, and John, Simon, and Bartholomew. Now, they're Jews. A true Jew, you see, believes God. That's what he's saying here. They don't go around killing followers of his Son. They say that they're Jews, the Lord Jesus says. Imagine that. I mean, imagine like him saying to me, you say that you're Italian, but you're not. I'd say, but I am. I am Italian. No, you're not. That's what he said to these guys. They say that they are Jews and are not, but they're a congregation of demons. Now, we'll have to pick it up right there in our next program. Apparently, as the Lord Jesus reckons things, a Jew, a true Jew, is a spiritual Jew, and it's not according to their earthly heritage. There's more to that than meets the eye. We'll have to pick it up there in our next program. Hey, I thank you guys for joining us here today. We're going to have service here coming up 6 o'clock tonight. If you can't join us in person, the Facebook feed will turn on live right at 6 o'clock. Why don't you continue to get into the Word with us here as we're going through the Apostle Paul's teaching on giving. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'd love to see you. You are listening to WGOD Radio. We will be back tomorrow picking it up right here again with the Lord Jesus' letter to the spiritual leader of this church in Smyrna. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Din da din na de na ke teri ki te dom din da dun na de na ki na na ke teri ki te na ke dom ki na na ke teri ki te na ke dom don ti ki din da ti ki din da ti ki din da 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 ki